used currents.
I thought they'd have more sense.
Dale, she thought, and tried to sit up. Someone helped.
That surprised her, but she was already gathering her senses.
Stay like this. Be weak. Be wounded.
I knew you were on to me on Kalamar.
How?
Her voice echoed and thumped in her head, pounding her skull, but she could not help asking the question. Dale did not answer.
Didn't think you'd be able to follow. Thought I'd shaken you. But you're persistent.
Was that something conflicted in his voice when he talked about her? Lannery could not tell. He had changed so much, and she knew that without even seeing him. In the distance, a deep rumble.
What was that? Where is Tree?
She remembered his scream, guessed he was dead, and felt a surprising sadness. Tree was not a good Twi'lek, but he was trying to make himself better. Trying to make up for his past. Lannery opened her eyes again and looked at her brother. He was blurry to begin with, swaying in her vision like a scar serpent waiting to strike. She closed one eye and her sight settled. Dale manifested, down on one knee before her as if questioning one of the elder gods.
You've grown up, Lannery whispered.
Dale laughed. She recognized the sound, but there was something grating in it. Something mad. And he had grown up. Gone were his boyish good looks, replaced by a weathered countenance that carried every day of every year that had passed. He'd lost some of his hair, and what remained was speckled gray. There was a scar on his left cheek. He could have done something about the hair and scar, but she saw no vanity in him at all. No evidence of self-awareness about his appearance. His robe was plain and rough. Everything that Dale was now resided in his mad, glittering eyes.
Another thud. She felt it through her behind rather than heard it.
Dale glanced up at the ceiling.
I've grown in every way, he said. See?
Feel. I don't want to...
But I'm telling you to!
He screamed. Lannery winced as his voice seared into her head, driving spikes of pain into her eyeballs. Perhaps she'd fractured her skull. She tried to feel, to sense, as they taught her in Maharakesh when she finished her great journey without her brother. But she was confused. The force flowed through her, but it seemed to stutter. She could not examine herself, so instead she delved toward Dale's mind.
And withdrew just as quickly.
He grinned, nodding slowly.
You see?
He asked.
You feel?
Lannery nodded, tides of pain washing through her. She sensed nothing at all of the force within him. No light, no dark, no Ashlaw, no Bogan. But he bore an incredible strength that she had only just started to recognize 9 years before. It had grown into something solid. She could only call it madness, and yet... And yet Dale's aims and ambitions were defined, and his route to achieving them firmly set. His madness had method.
Not many people are completely without your force, eh, Lannery? Not many. Not him.
He nodded toward a corner, and Lannery looked, relieved to see Tree propped there. He bled from a wound across his forehead and left eye, and twitched in unconsciousness.
Not even most of my stargazers.
There were three other people around the room now, other than the Cell'Kath technicians. They were of differing species, but all dressed similar to Dale. Their look resembled that of a religious order, but they were much more than that. And few religions went that heavily armed.
Not many people want to be, Lannery said.
See, that's why you didn't find me, Dale said. Down there in that old dark place. Because you were looking the wrong way. You were searching as if I'd lost something and fled, not found something and set off on my own path. You were looking for a wounded, dying animal, not the man I've become.
I was looking for my brother, and I've already told you. You left the brother you always wanted back in Bodhi with our parents. He's dead now. Long dead.
There was another distant impact, and Lannery absorbed it, examined it. She was more conscious and aware now. She thought it was an explosion.
"What's happening?" she asked.
Dale stood and approached the covered object on the table. It was the size of a no-grease head, and beneath the sheet it appeared completely spherical.
"It's almost finished," he said. "Almost ready. You know what this is?"
"Yes," Lannery said, bluffing. She knew his aims, and what he planned to use to make them real. But really, she had no idea what the device was.
Dale rested his hand on the object almost reverentially.
"Everything I always wanted,"
he whispered it almost to himself.
"Dale, shut up."
He didn't even look at her as he spoke, and a sudden change came over him.
"You're sure?"
he asked the group huddled in the corner.
"You're certain?"
"Yes," one of the technicians said.
He took one step forward.
"Your request was, forgive me, vague. We've worked hard. It was a task we relished, and the device is ready to do everything you want of it. It's perfect. One of the finest of our creations, and it pushes at the edge of all our accumulated science. Once it's charged..."
"Enough,"
Dale said, holding up a hand. He glanced at Lannery.
"You have no idea what you're doing," she said.
"And you have no idea what I've seen."
He nodded at his stargazers.
The violence was sudden and shocking. The stargazers, a human, a Twi'lek, and a Cathar, drew blasters and power bows and opened fire on the scientists. Lannery winced but watched, unable to close her eyes. The Cellcaths danced and juddered as blasts and bolts ripped into them. Blood splashed, fire sizzled across skin, clothes erupted into flames. In the space of 5 heartbeats, the scientists were dead, the last one sliding down the wall to slump across her murdered companions.
"Calm," Lannery told herself.
"Calm."
And she sought the Force, readying to use it to save herself. The time must come soon. She had to stop him here and now, and nothing here would end well. Dale looked at Lannery. She could not read his eyes. She felt for her sword, but the scabbard was empty. "And now me?" she thought. Panic came, and she washed it away, seeking the familiar Force to prime herself for action. But her pain was still raw, and shock stoked the